Have your Bibles, please turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, and I'll be reading verses 11 through 18. 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 18. This is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Well, that's 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 18. And, John, as he writes this epistle, will kind of meander back and forth through different topics, light, love, truth. And he'll talk about those for a short period of time at the beginning of the book, like he does love in chapter 2. And now he's returning to it. So it's kind of that way. He gets our attention initially. And then he talks about something else, and then he comes back to it, and he makes it deeper. He tells us more about it, more intensely, so that we'll understand these things. Well, followers of Jesus strive to do what is right. And when Jerry read that passage, it said there, didn't it? God spoke to Cain about doing what is right, didn't he? And God speaks to us today about doing what is right. And one of the right things that God commands us to do as believers is to love one another. Over and over again, John tells his readers to love one another. At least 10 times in 1 John, he tells us that. I think, one time is enough. But 10 times, you can imagine, have to tell your kids 10 times, to pick up their stuff from their room. What God is telling us 10 times, love your brothers. He wants us to put a focus on this and not to forget this, not to get this out of our minds ever. And they should do this because they've been born of God. And God is love. When we do that, we're imitating God when we love our brothers. Love comes from him. Love provides a test of the existence of life in us. Maybe you've heard this verse. Jesus said this in John chapter 13, verse 35. By this they will know you are my disciples if you love one another. That's John 13, 35. A new commandment. Does everybody here know who D.L. Moody was? D.L. Moody was the founder of Moody Bible Institute in Chicago, and he did a lot of stuff with evangelism with very, very poor people in Chicago during the 1800s. A great, great preacher. But one time he was invited to come to Cambridge, England. And I don't know if probably a lot of you haven't been to England, but in England, they speak the Queen's English. And Cambridge is like the center of education in England. And so you really have to be careful about, you know, the way you talk there as an American. And, you know, there was this group of students that knew that D.L. Moody was coming there. And they kind of said, oh, an American coming and speaking to us? You know, this guy, the way we've heard how he writes, he's crude. He's coarse. He's a backward American, you know, coming to this place of, you know, the center of English to speak. How can this be? You know, guys, this is what we're going to do. We're going to disrupt this meaning. You know, we're going to use catcalls. We're going to make fun of him all throughout so he won't be able to speak. Well, D.L. Moody comes to this meeting, and they had prayed a lot about speaking in this place. And his song leader, Ira Shanky, led a couple songs, fantastic songs that helped people there to worship God. And then D.L. Moody, a short little guy, strode to the podium and focused right on that group of guys. He knew that they were going to do. And he said, "Gentlemen, don't ever let anybody tell you that God don't love you, for he do." And all these guys were stunned. You know, their mouths dropped open, but they were fascinated about how sincere D.L. Moody was in speaking to them the truth, that what he had, what God had placed upon his heart. And he saw the shock on their faces. So he said again, "Young men, don't ever let anybody tell you that God don't love you, for he do." And then he went on and spoke from a passage and talked about the love of God to them. And afterwards, several of these guys, right from that group, made decisions to trust Christ as their Savior. And he talked to this one guy. He said, "Why did you do this? Why did you make a decision for Christ when you were so much against him when you initially came?" And he said, "Well, I listened to what you said, and it came and occurred to my mind, why do I fight against a God who loves me so? It doesn't make sense to me anymore." This teaching about loving one another is set up in this passage with a passage of contrasts, which John is also very, very familiar. He likes to do this throughout 1 John to have contrasts. And you see the contrast, first of all, of murder as we read through these verses. And the murder, the word there is like bloody death. You know, preparing a sacrifice to sacrifice it, to give it to God. That's what it was. And that's what happened to Abel, too, the same word. And then hatred. Remember what they did to Jesus? They not only put him on a cross, but they also spit on him. They made fun of him. They expressed hatred towards Jesus. And then the third contrast that we see in this passage is also a contrast with indifference. Indifference, you know, it's kind of like the parable of the Good Samaritan. All these guys were indifferent towards the needs of this guy who was laying on the street. And they're all mingled and intertwined together with loving one another in this passage. So by the time what's supposed to happen, by the time we get to the end of these verses, it's supposed to be very clear to us what is loving one another. But sometimes when you read a passage like this, you can't see the forest because of the trees. There's so much contrast. And you get focused on murder, or you get focused on hatred, you get focused on apathy, that you forget about that what John here is talking about is loving one another. And that's like the path of love that takes us through these verses. The path of agape love, God's type of love that we're supposed to experience and also to share with other people. So we are to graphically understand the main point in order to understand what John is saying in this passage. And I found four points about loving one another while walking in the light in this path. The word agape actually occurs five times, so you can make your points around each one of the times that the word agape occurs in this passage, but I decided to go with four rather than five because we have a business meeting after this meeting, so I don't want to keep you all day because of that. Well, let's look at the first point about loving one another while walking in the light. And I find that in verses 11 through 13. It says this: "This is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you." So he begins these verses by starting out talking about at the beginning. And he does that several times in the book of 1 John. It's like introducing a new topic to get our attention. This is the message you have heard from the beginning. And the beginning there that he's talking about is the beginning of our Christian lives. When God got our attention somehow, smacked us awake, and brought us out of this darkness that we lived in, and brought us into the kingdom of light, and we started to understand some things. We heard that God loves us. Maybe you heard John 3:16. It said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his son." And that's what stuck in your heart. And at the same time when we heard that God loves us, we also probably heard that we gotta love one another. That we gotta do that. That's what God tells us to do, to love one another. It's basic. It's fundamental. It's a part of our Christian experience that we've heard from the very beginning. If our spiritual experience originates from the Father, we must love one another. If our spiritual experience originates from Satan, we will hate one another. And Cain was a perfect example of that. He hated his brother. He murdered him because his deeds were evil. While Abel offered sacrifice to God, it says in Hebrews 11:4, by faith. In this passage, it tells us that he was righteous, that Abel was righteous. And the whole time, Cain was jealous and envious of his brother. I don't think Abel even realized that his brother felt that way. You know, he was so busy serving God. At the same time, his brother hated him more and more for the things that he did. You know, the United States did not plan to get into fight with Japan and Germany during World War II, but the Japanese attacked us at Pearl Harbor on December the 7th, 1941. Sunday morning, about 5:30 in the morning, their planes came in and started dropping bombs on our guys that were still asleep. And you know, that woke a sleeping giant, woke our nation. And our leaders decided, hey, we gotta show those guys that we mean business, that this giant is awake. They said, what we need to do is drop a bomb on their heads. So they got this guy named General Doolittle, and they strapped 15 B-25s onto an aircraft carrier, and they got the aircraft carrier close enough to Japan where those guys could take off, and they dropped their bombs on Tokyo. Within, you know, just a couple months after the Japanese had bombed Pearl Harbor. And on one of those airplanes was a guy named Jacob DeSager. And he was a bombardier, so he was the guy who kind of directed the bombs to their target. Well, after, it was kind of a suicide mission because there was no, you couldn't come back and land on the aircraft carrier again. And there was barely enough gas to travel or fly from Japan to China. And once you got to China, guess who was in charge of all the land in China? Japanese army, for the most part. There were some Chinese, but the Japanese army. So most of the planes crashed on the mainland. And this Dysager was captured by the Japanese soldiers. And they weren't very nice to those guys who dropped bombs on their capital. And so they put him in a cage. And he was in solitary confinement for 4.5 years. And he became violent and vicious in that cave, in that cage that he was put in. And, you know, after a while, the Japanese got afraid of this guy because, you know, you would get close to him and he'd try to get you. And so they would just, you know, open the door, the slat door, and throw his food in there and then get away from him. But somehow, during his time in that cell, he got a hold of a Bible and he read that Bible. And God changed his heart. And he became docile. He became the ideal prisoner of war. And he prayed for his Japanese captors. And he survived the war. A year after the war was over, he and his wife returned to Japan as missionaries. There are 23 churches started in Japan as a result of going back, allowing the Spirit of God to change your heart, take away the hate, and love your brothers. And that's what Jacob Dysager did. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, changed this violent and vicious man who feared nothing into a man who feared God alone. And he went back to Japan and saved. Many people were saved because of that. This is the message we have heard from the start. God loves us, and we are to love our brothers. The second point, loving one another and walking in light shows that we are alive in Christ. It shows that we are alive in Christ. Look at verses 14 and 15. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. So in reading those verses, God gives us kind of like insider information to show us that we are spiritually alive in Christ. It's like a test. We show actually what is on the inside, but how we act on the outside, what comes out of us. We love our brothers because God has loved us and shown us his love and has become active in our lives. It's a present continuing tense here. It's a habitual practice. It's a state. It's a settled habit of loving our brothers. Not a one-time thing, but a settled state. It's all part of abiding in him. It shows that we pass from death to life. You know, the only other place in the Bible that uses that phrase, passing from death to life, is John chapter 5, verse 24. And there that verse says, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. A passage, John chapter 5, verse 24, is a passage that my friend, Pastor Dean Risser, who is the emeritus pastor at Southview Grace Brethren Church, used to love. And he wrote actually a tract about that. It's called the Bridge Tract. And at one side of this valley, there's death. And on the other side of the valley, there's life. And between the two, there's this bridge, but it's not a normal bridge, it's the cross. And the only way to get from death to life is by through the cross of Jesus. And below that is the valley where there's hell underneath. And my friend, Dean Risser, used to go to restaurants, and he'd pass this out. Here, I'll give you this bridge. This is a bridge to life that you can have. And, you know, these waitresses probably thought, oh, this old guy, what's he going to tell me today? But he shared with them the bridge to eternal life. He loved doing it. He was alive in Christ. He loved Jesus. and he loved his brothers. A third point, loving one another while walking in the light models what Jesus did for us. Look at verse 16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. You know, I love John 3:16. You probably heard that verse a lot from me. But 1 John 3:16 is a pretty good verse too. It really points out for us what God has done. And it starts out and tells us that Jesus laid down his life. It's personal. You know, the emphasis there is on the pronoun, he. He did this. Nobody else did this. No other religious leader did this. Jesus did this. He laid down his life for us. And it's in the aorist tense here. It makes a difference. In this passage, it's aorist tense. That's a simple past tense. It's point to finished action. He did this once for all. He died once for all. He laid down his life once for all for us so that we might have eternal life. Secondly, it was voluntary. He laid down his own life, not somebody else's life, but he laid down his life by his own will for you and for me. And thirdly, it was substitutionary. He laid down his life, and you know what? He was in our place. It was for us. He paid our penalty by going to the cross and dying for you and for me. And you know, it was practical. We were totally without hope without it. It says there, we ought to lay down our lives. And that's a different tense in the Greek language. That's a present continuing tense. So that's something that we do constantly in our lives. That's a state. That's something that identifies us, that characterizes us, that we lay down our lives for other people. You know, there's a story about a woman who was surprised at the beginning of the church service that she was attending because a woman who was there who had snubbed her entire life went out of her way to get up and give her this great big hug at the beginning of the service. And she was shocked. She was like, whoa, what influenced her to do that? Why? What would have come across her to do that? Because she's never, ever spoken to me before. And then she found out at the end of the service, the pastor said again, I have the same assignment for you as last week. Every one of you get out there and love somebody that you can't stand. Life in Christ makes it all possible to love our brothers who many times are unlovable in our hearts, our sight. Loving one another models what Jesus did for you and for me. The final point, loving one another while walking the light shows what is most important to us. Look at verses 17 and 18. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. If we have no pity for someone that's described like in verse 17, then the love of God does not abide in us. And that's another word that's kind of a key word for this section is abide, just like we have in John 15. Obeying God is the reason he has blessed us with all this stuff that we've got. And we prove our claims to know Jesus by the practical demonstration, application of these words in our lives. Now, there's a story told about a guy named Arthur Kuntz. Arthur Kuntz was a guy who was raised as an atheist, even though his parents were Jewish. He grew up in Southern California. He was a member of the Communist Party and a troublemaker. He liked trouble. He liked to stir up trouble, stir up messes. Well, the last year of World War II, he was an American soldier serving in Europe. He was part of the groups that freed prisoners from concentration camps. And he saw what the Germans did to all those Jewish people and other people that were in those camps. And he grew to have a deep hatred for the German people. Initially, that's what it was. But then it grew to be a deep hatred for the entire human race. He returned home and went to Berkeley and tried to give himself an education. And finally, he gave that up. And his wife left him. She went into a mental institution. You know, after that, he just kind of gave up and let loose of everything and began to wander around the earth. He didn't know where he was going or caring where he was. One rainy day, he was in Greece. He was standing by the highway hitchhiking. You know, it had been weeks since this guy had taken a bath. He had dirty clothes on. He was wet to the bone. He was standing by this highway, and nobody wanted to stop and pick him up. I mean, nobody. He was there for hours. Nobody would stop and pick this guy up. And when you know it, a big Cadillac stopped in front of him. He thought, oh, what could this be? But this guy, who was fairly well-dressed, jumped out of the Cadillac and ran around and grabbed him by the hand and started pumping his hand and said, hey, how you doing? Come in my car. So he picked him up, took him to a hotel, paid for his room in a hotel, gave him new clothes to wear, gave him food, showed interest in his life, asked him questions and listened to him talk for hours and hours on end. And finally asked him, where are you going? And of course he said, I don't know. And this guy, who was apparently pretty wealthy, said, you know, Art, what the world needs? The world needs those who are willing to wash one another's feet. And Art was kind of shocked by that. And he said, you know, I've never heard anything more beautiful than that. Why did you say that? And the wealthy man said to him, because that is what my Lord did. Lord Jesus modeled loving our brothers. And that's what this man was doing. So 4 points about loving one another while we're walking in the light, we're walking in the truth. It's the very same message we've heard from the beginning. There's no changes to it. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in him might not perish but have everlasting life. And we show that we are his disciples when we love one another. Secondly, it shows that we are alive in Christ, that God is working in us and has changed us from the inside out. Thirdly, it models what Jesus did for us, what Jesus Christ went to the cross to do. And finally, it shows what is most important to us. Well, Jerry talked about Cain having a decision to make in his life, about doing what is right, doing what is right. And the Bible defines for us what is right and what is wrong. Do we do what is right? That's the first question I have for us today as we end. Do we do what is right? Second question How are we loving each other in the body of Christ? We can always get better at that, can't we? There's always new things, new ways of doing that. But how are we doing on a scale of 1 to 10 to evaluate ourselves about that? And the final question is do we know Christ as our Savior? You know, this process begins by asking him to come into our hearts and making us new, to repent from our sins and to tell him, God, I was wrong for all that I've done, and I want you to make me new. I want you to make me one of your kids. And he'll do that if we ask him sincerely. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thanks for the Word of God that helps us to understand what you did and why you did it. Lord, just bless each one of us as we follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand.